You're listening to House and Shambles Podcast, your place for all things Hogs, Mavs, Cowboys, Titans, Rangers, Stars, and much more, including the biggest rivalry in sports, Duke, North Carolina. Thanks for listening. This is the House in Shambles Podcast. Welcome into the House in Shambles Podcast. I'm joined by David.
What's going on, guys? What's going on, brother?
Not much. Just getting here to talk about some. We're going to talk about a little bit of everything. We're going to start off with Mavericks basketball. We're both big.
Before we get started on everything, Ian, let's let everybody know that's listening that this is not going to be a national show like your average podcast. It's going to be about our teams. It's going to be Rangers, Mavericks, Razorbacks, Stars sometimes, Titans, Cowboys, Duke basketball, North Carolina basketball, TCU football on occasion. It's going to be a whole host of teams that we follow or keep up with. Things like that.
Yeah, we're definitely Dallas-centric for the most part. I mean, it kind of skews a little bit being that we're from Arkansas, but we're going to just kind of – this one's going to be definitely Mavericks-based. We might – fans, but we might not agree on the direction of the organization.
Likely not sometimes.
No, but – let's go ahead and get into it. We kind of talked a lot off air, but kind of give people a perspective. We're talking about future. Right now, we're a 500 to under 500 basketball team. For some reason, they can't win in Dallas or outside of Dallas for some reason.
It's crazy, but I mean, road woes are a thing, man. It happens with a lot of teams. It just kind of sticks out more with us because of our severe inability to win on the road.
I think some of it comes down to defense and shooting. Sometimes the inconsistencies on defense and inconsistencies shooting the basketball. And especially with a team that is, we're middle of the road as far as pace goes. So it's not like we're going to get up and down and have a lot of chances to score. If we're not making shots, we're not going to win a lot of games.
And it doesn't help either that a couple more reasons why is we're not a really high defensive team per se. I mean, we're not a terrible defensive team, but we're not one of those teams that's getting a ton of turnovers every game. And another thing is that we are really, really young. Outside of like Wesley Matthews, Dirk, Devin Harris, J.J. Barea, the rest of the team, I would venture to say the rest of the team outside of them is probably averaging 24 years old.
Yeah, because you got players like DFS, DSJ.
Did you know Harrison Barnes is not even 25?
He's 26.
Or is he? I thought he was like 24.
He's 26. DeAndre's only 30.
Yeah.
Dwight Powell's only 27. Luka's 19.
Dennis, our two best players.
Our two best players is 19 and 21. Our two young players are 19 and 21. And then you got players like Brunson, who's only 22.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaves is only 27.
Kleba, you mean?
I said Cleaves. I was shortening it.
Kleba, yeah, I got you.
So, I mean, and then the young guys that are starting to get some shots of Antetokounmpo and Macon, they're both real young, so it's...
Macon's kind of in that same boat as where Brunson is, though, because they were both college seniors.
Yeah.
So they're going to be kind of older, but they're still not old.
This is a young basketball team. I think going forward, this team's going to be really young. When you got people like Harris, JJ, Sala,
Dirk.
Salah's gonna be gone this year because I have to imagine because he's not hardly played at all this year. No.
But I'm just saying, like, and Wesley, all those guys are in their 30s or late 20s and they're not on contract for next season.
If that's the one good thing about this team is that you kind of can gauge who's going to be here and who's not going to be here next year for the most part. Because with Salah not playing, it's pretty obvious that he's not in the plans. Wes might get brought back on a cheaper deal, but his contract's going to run out. Dirk is all but gone. Everybody's pretty much came to grips with that. Devin Harris is going to be gone. There's a possibility that J.J. Barea could be gone due to his injury.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a lot. The majority of the guys that are older on this team are more than likely gone.
No, yeah.
DeAndre's on a one-year deal, so he very well could be gone.
And Harrison, if somebody wanted to pay him more than what we wanted to pay him, he could opt out of his player option and become a free agent. So really,
yeah, we were kind of talking about that off air where he would make more with us on a 1 year deal, but maybe he wants more stability and he would want like a two or three year deal where he makes say like.
A little less 40, money.
Like two or like a three-year deal for like 45 or 55 mil or something like that.
Take a little less money, but have a little more insurance as far as long-term.
Yeah.
And I'm not against Harrison. If you keep Harrison, you can't keep Wesley Matthews.
And I'm kind of on a different perspective. I feel like if you're keeping Harrison Barnes, you can't keep White. Powell. You can't keep Powell because Wes is what he is. As much as I want to get him traded right now, just to get something, it's more or less to get something in return right now because with Wes being a free agent coming up. It's not that I think that it's a problem for him being here. It kind of is, but he's going to be gone soon enough, so it really doesn't even matter. But
in my opinion, he's worth more to the Mavericks than he would be to anybody else.
I don't know. I mean, he's a good enough shooter that teams need shooters, especially shooters that can play a little bit of defense.
Yeah.
And they're not to mention he's going to be expiring, so they're not going to have to be held to him for more than this year.
Yeah. Which I told you. Earlier, this team, as far as like pace and all this stuff, they're middle of the road because of the pace, their field goal and field goal attempts, they're 25th and 29th in the NBA. That's second to last in field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have the game down, you're going to have to make shots.
That's kind of why I laughed because whenever I told people not that long ago that, you know, Luka was a slow down pace player, that they were saying, well, he's an up tempo player. All you gotta do is look at the numbers and it'll tell you all you need to know. We're one of the slower teams in the NBA, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just one of those things. If you're gonna run a system like that, you need the right players that can run in that system.
Yeah. And I mean, they're a decent 3-point shooting team. They shoot a lot of threes. Mm-hmm. Which you're going to do that when you have a player like Luka that he get in the pick and roll, you need shooters around him. And right. That's kind of where we run into our agreeance or disagreeance, I guess, and what direction we need to go. Because, like, there's a lot of players on this team that are not going to be back on the books. Now, would I like J.J. Barrera to come back? Absolutely.
Oh, for but sure.
At this point in time, what's better for the organization?
He before his injury, man, he was the absolute perfect backup point guard for us because he can shoot the ball. And that's what you need whenever you have a guy like Luka and other guys off the bench like Barea. You kind of got to have other players who can shoot other than one guy.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of ready to see a little bit of Ray Spalding, too, because I feel like that guy's got some potential, man.
You just don't know, because, I mean, it's hard to get guys minutes and then get a lot of looks because you're not getting up and down. So,
yeah. Well, too, we have a log jam, too. At both positions, we have young players coming up that we need that to see where their progress is. We got a log jam. Like, we at the power forward spot, we have Dirk, Powell, Kleba, now Spalding. And then you got Barnes that basically starts at the four.
Yeah, I hate that. So, I mean, that's where I think – I mean, you could keep Barnes. So that's why I say if you keep Barnes, you can't keep Weston Matthews because technically Luka has to play the two. And then you slide Barnes in at three, and then that leaves you super undersized if you keep Wesley because then you got to slide Barnes down to the four, and he's super undersized on defense.
Now, now barring that we make any trades here, I think the right starting five for us right now without trades would be DSJ at point, Luka at two guard, Barnes at three, Kleba at four, and DeAndre playing center. Like that would be the smartest idea for us. But I get why they can't do that because you really can't have an $18 million player coming off the bench. So
absolutely not. I mean,
I get it from a money perspective. I mean, that's just – you just can't do that.
And then that's why sometimes in basketball, you have to throw out the fact that their positions, you just got to play who's your best players.
Yeah. At some point, you got to kind of understand that he's not coming back and he's not part of the plan. So if you want to win at all, you kind of got to take him out of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean –
I hate it that Dirk hasn't been more consistent off the bench this year, but I kind of called it this year.
I mean, coming off an injury, you just don't know. We got to remember this guy's 4 years old.
Yeah. I mean, you knew the downturn was going to happen eventually. It was just a matter of when.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to kind of hang it on up.
It was the time, honestly, a year or two ago, but I'm not ever going to get mad about Dirk hanging around. He's earned the right to be able to stick around in Dallas as long as he wants to. He's more than earned that respect.
True.
It's kind of the same way I feel about J.J. Barea. Like, if he felt like he wanted to keep playing, then I'm completely fine with it because to me he's like a mini Dirk. I know that he left and went to Minnesota for a little while, but that was more of one of those things that it was on us than it was on him not wanting to be there. It was like we didn't want to pay him and he wanted to get paid. I would not blame him for leaving.
Yeah.
Obviously he wanted to be a Mav or he wouldn't have came back.
Absolutely. I think he just loves being in Dallas. And based on these numbers I'm showing you, there's only five other towns that get a better attendance than Dallas.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess Golden State's one of them.
Probably. I'm going to say Golden State, Oklahoma City.
Oddly enough, I'll say Portland.
Yeah, those have to be top three, but Dallas just loves their teams.
Yes, they do. One of the most loyal fan bases there you can find is the Dallas Mavericks fan base.
I think it's the Dallas in general. They're so starving. I mean, because you have the Rangers and the Cowboys that haven't sniffed championships since two. I mean, yeah, the Rangers made a World Series, but other than that, neither team's really been consistently sniffing the championships. So with Dallas winning in two, because the height of the Dallas in the last three centuries or like three centuries, three, two decades really has been the Mavericks and the Rangers in a 2-year span. Other than that, it's been kind of wishy-washy. So yeah. The fans really want something to cheer for.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. I mean, Dallas as a city as a whole is good to their teams. The Rangers fan base is strong. The Stars fan base is strong. The Cowboys fan base is strong. The Mavs fan base is strong. Like, yep.
I mean, with a strong fan base, it comes with a lot of expectation.
Yeah.
And the good thing about this team, they're not great this year, but they're great at home. So that's something you can...
You can see that they have... You can see that we have the talent to win. We just don't have enough of it.
And with so many expiring contracts, I think it makes it easier to build for next year.
Yep.
Let me see if I can find this. Because you have guys like the only real contracts you have, Harrison Barnes has a player option. Dwight Powell has a player option.
And they're both accepting those.
We got Luka. Then basically everybody else other than Barokov are all on rookie deals.
Yeah.
So really you got Spalding, Brunson, Dennis Smith, Doncic are all on rookie deals. Then you got Dwight Powell player option, Harrison Barnes player option, which I expect both of them to sign those.
Yeah, I do too.
And that's all you have on the books for next year.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna have a lot of different players on this team next year. And you look at too. You didn't add, but I know that technically speaking, Finney Smith and Kleba are free agents, but they're restricted free agents.
Yeah, fully. Back next year, and I only think though they won't get a lot of money. Honestly,
I don't think that they. I think one of the two of them will be gone. I feel like because I feel like there's going to be a team that's going to offer them each one. But this is both of them. I feel like there's going to be a team somewhere that offers both of them more money than we should accept. But I feel like we're gonna match one of the two of them.
Yeah, I think. Dorian Finney-Smith is worth more on the market. That's just my personal opinion.
I think Kleba's worth more because he's very good defensively. He's efficient enough scoring the ball, and he can rebound. And he's a big.
It just depends on what you need.
You look at some of the contracts some of these other big guys have gotten over the last few years. That were way, way less than what he is.
Yeah.
At least with Maxey, you kind of know what you're getting. You're getting a good defensive player that can pitch in a little scoring.
Yeah. I mean, they're both. I'm looking at the numbers right now. They're both about the same, except Cleaver's a much better. Free throw shooter. That's the only glaring difference.
Yeah.
They're both really good. They're both good rebounders.
You wanna know what this kind of reminds me of?
What?
It kind of reminds me of the Aminu and Brandon Wright situation from a few years ago.
Yes, because didn't we trade Wright?
Yep. Because I think he was about to hit the free agent market too, and we just wanted to get something for him.
Traded Wright, and oh god, that was a terrible trade. But
and then Aminu signed with Portland as a restricted free agent because we didn't.
I was really upset about that because I really liked him.
He's a free agent this year. Just saying.
Yeah.
You think maybe we can get him to come back if we lose somebody like Dorian Finney-Smith?
It would fit a role.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he and one of his better years was whenever he was here. So you never know. Especially with a team that's going to have as much money as we have to play with in the off season this year. You never know what we're going to do. We might just decide not to max anybody out and just sign a whole bunch of good players. Or we might take a chance and get one big player and just get a few pieces. Like, that's the good thing about having that kind of cap space. It allows you to do whatever you want to do with it.
And having a player like Luka, it draws the ability.
I think it will in the future. It's kind of where I've been talking to with my Mavs group chat that I'm in on Twitter, that I think that he, in time, he will be a draw for free agents. But as a rookie, I don't think he's there yet.
I mean, he's fun. I mean, when you got a guy that is his size, that can handle it the way he can handle it, and as a rookie is averaging 5.5 assists, 7 rebounds, 21 points.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to lie, playing with the rookie of the year has a ring to it, but I'm just saying most established NBA guys aren't going to bet their chickens on a rookie, no matter how good they are.
No, but...
I mean, heck, how long did it take before LeBron actually started getting players respect enough that they wanted to start playing with him?
But no, but I'd rather go to Dallas than I would go to Cleveland.
Oh yeah, but I'm just saying from a player perspective, and wanting to like play next to somebody. I mean, even the great LeBron James took probably at least 3 or 4 years before players really started jumping on board with it. And really, a lot of that came whenever he went to Miami.
Yeah, he had to get out of because he tried to even come to Cleveland, and he never could.
And then he went to Miami, and he was able to. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's. What the heck?
I hate this. I looked up something on my computer, and those stupid CBS. Stupid CBS Sports websites autoplay.
I was like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, it was autoplay. But anyways,
I feel like over time Luka will be able to be a draw. But it was like I was telling you last night, I guess it was, that if we want him to be able to be the recruiter for us and all that, we have to get established guys around him if we don't want him to leave.
True. I mean, don't want another AD situation.
Yes. And I said also to you that, you know, yes, Dirk has been very loyal and very forgiving of a lot of things. Luke is not going to be like that. He is a legitimate phenom. He's not going to accept hometown discounts.
No.
Like, he knows what he's worth already. You can tell he knows.
So this may be a stretch, but I've thought about this a lot. Luka Doncic reminds me a lot of, with athletic ability, ability to rebound, ability to pass, Larry Bird.
I can see that a little bit. I was thinking more of a KD.
Maybe, but, I mean, I looked it up. Larry Bird's rookie year, he averaged 21, 5 assists, and 10 rebounds a game.
As much as I hate to admit it, though, the better comp probably is LeBron.
I mean, athletically, LeBron was way better. But
yeah,
I think that's why when we talk about things like that,
I mean, I think
Doncic's a better shooter than LeBron was at 18.
Oh, for sure. It took LeBron a while to get a rig to come around to where he could be a reliable shooter.
When growing up and you're the best athlete in basketball, you can just depend on your athleticism and not actually train your craft. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Larry Bird was so much better, was because he wasn't that athletic.
Another good comp probably would be Giannis, even. Maybe not athletically, but just from how his game is.
Yeah. But, I mean, and not a bunch of people were jumping out of nowhere to go play with Giannis either.
Yep. See, it's taken a little while. And it's widely known. I mean, it's widely, at least across the people that I've heard from, that a ton of people love Giannis. It's just you kind of have to wait it out sometimes.
And Milwaukee's such a small market that a big-time free agent is not trying to go play in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's kind of running into the same kind of problem LeBron had in Cleveland, because teams don't want to play for the, or players don't want to play for those teams.
Dallas is different. I don't know.
Now I don't care. I don't necessarily say that we're different, because Dallas hasn't exactly had a great track record of bringing home players either, but in the same breath, we haven't had a player like this in Dallas since prime Dirk.
And throughout Dirk's career, you had players like Steve Nash and
Michael Finley, we got Amari, Vince Carter, washed out Amari.
You had Peja, you had Marion. I think the way they built that team to win a championship also screwed the Mavs going forward. Because that was not a future team. That was, we win this year, we're going to be terrible.
Yep.
And that's kind of what it turned into. Ever since that going forward, they never really had a consistent winning basketball team, except for that one year they had Vince Carter.
If we pretty much sold out to win in that 2 or 3 year time frame.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah, it worked. But the way I look at it was, if we, after doing that, and we were really going to start over after that, we should have tanked right then and there.
But, I'm from Brandon. Cuban being the way he is, he wanted to at least put something winnable out there, and I think that ended up hurting the franchise.
He wasn't going to do that with Dirk. With Dirk being there, I still to this day think that's a lot of the reason why he's so hesitant to do a lot of things on this team, is because he doesn't want to put Dirk in that situation.
No, absolutely.
I think it's going to help the team a lot going forward with Dirk leaving. As much as I love the guy, I think going forward you're going to see a whole lot of changes in the Dallas Mavericks organization when Dirk's gone.
Yeah, because there's nobody to please.
Luka. You got to please Luka now, but it's different. You know, you ain't got to stick to the old way of thinking anymore.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to please Luka, but I think he's easier to please as far as... I think regardless with him, if you got at least some competent shooters, they can win 35 games.
Right. Like, there is one guy I was banging the table for earlier, not that we would ever be able to get him, but that's Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon would be a fantastic two-guard to play with us right now.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon would be perfect as a two-guard, because he is a volume shooter.
And that's kind of what you need, and that's why I'm not so against Harrison, because when Harrison's on, he's so good. It's just right now the way they're not using his strength. They're sticking him playing fours, and that's for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's having – and making him look sufficient on offense.
He's undersized. He's a little bit too undersized to be playing four, honestly.
He's way undersized to be playing four.
Of course, you're going to get, like, what is he, like 6'6", 6'8", something like that? Probably.
I'll tell you. Hold on.
And then your smaller power forwards you're looking at least 6'8", to 6'10".
He's 6'8", 225, so he's not super height-wise undersized. He's just only 225 pounds.
Yeah, see he's just a tick under what the smaller power forwards would be.
Yeah, so he's not terrible.
The guys like Randall.
Yeah. Now, if I can get a cheap version of a Blake Griffin that's super athletic and can step out and shoot a jumper, that's kind of what you want at the four. Let Harrison play a three. either get some draft picks or something for Matthews and let him go, let Luka play the two. And then that setup, I think all of it works. With Luka playing the two and DSJ, they can play together. It's just when you got Wesley Matthews playing with him in the backcourt, it ends up being kind of a logjam.
Mm-hmm.
Because DSJ is a better shooter this year. He's a better free throw shooter. And it's just his usage. He's not playing as much. He's not as much of the offense. They're not getting up and down as much, so it makes it look like, oh, he's not scoring as much. I mean, he's really just kind of the same player. It's just Doncic takes up so much of the usage that it looks like he's playing worse.
I mean, his numbers are better. Like, his percentages are better, but his numbers are down. It's kind of a conundrum.
He's shooting better, but shooting less.
Yeah.
Because he's not getting the ball as much, so it depends on which way you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm. To me, though, it's not. It's like I told you in that Twitter group last night. It's not. For me, it's not that I don't like DSJ. It's not that at all. And it's not that I don't think he's good. I just don't think he's good for this system that we're in now, the slow down, methodical, you know, slower basketball. He's meant to be more of the ball handler and up and down, fast paced, like, offense where you're going to get a lot of shots up and a lot of possessions and a lot of drives to the basket.
But this is also why I think he works, because remember, it kind of reminds me, he's nowhere good as shooters, Kyrie, but it kind of reminds me when Kyrie and LeBron played together. LeBron got his when they were together, but Kyrie got his when Kyrie would play with the second team.
Yeah.
And if you set the rotations up like that, where DSJ plays more with the second team.
So do you think he needs to be a backup?
No, I'm not saying it should be a backup, because you can start both of them. It's just you need to rest Luka and leave DSJ out there, or vice versa.
Because to me, if we're going to keep him, I almost feel like he should be a backup, because I feel like Brunson kind of fits schematically better than he does with the starters.
It doesn't matter who you start. It's who plays the most minutes with who. You can start DSJ, but...
I'm just saying, though, schematically, though, I think that Brunson's probably a better fit because he's used to that Villanova slowdown basketball.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying from quarter two to three, like that half the game from the second quarter to the third quarter, I think DSJ should play more minutes with other players like Harrison and Cleaver and Finney Smith, those could who he should play with, and then of course Luka can play with basically anybody, because Harrison, his numbers really haven't fallen off. People are like, oh, he's falling off. He's just not shooting the two very well this year. I have no idea why. He's a way better 3-point shooter this year. He's shooting almost at 40%. Last year he averaged 19 points a game and 6 rebounds. This year he's averaging 18 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, and an assist. So he's not playing worse. It's just he's not making the same shots.
Right. I mean, it's not like this team is just bad. It's just they're just a mediocre team.
I think they run into a lot of mismatches, like we were talking about earlier. They run into the mismatch with Harrison starting. Mm-hmm. And I think when they're missing shots on the road, that mismatch on defense, and I think that's part of the reason why Harrison wears down, is he kind of got shifted from the three to playing defense on fours, which they play, that's why they match up so good against Golden State, though.
True.
It's because when he plays Draymond, he's not that undersized.
No, he's not. He was more of those, one of those smaller power forwards that I was talking about earlier.
And so... that's what they built this team. That's what's crazy. They built this team to stretch out, and then they go get Luka. This is why I think they botched that trade with Atlanta. they should have tried to ship out DSJ, some kind of package where you get ship out DSJ, add some draft picks, and then you pick Luka and get that number and keep the number 5 overall pick.
Here's the problem you run into. Atlanta had already picked Luka.
No, I know. I'm just saying you send other things, keep your number 5 pick, and that way you can draft somebody to play with Luka.
Right.
They could.
Oh, you're talking about your pick this year.
No. I'm talking about last year when it happened. Instead of giving them the 5 for the 3, keep your 5, give them other pieces that they might want for that 3 pick.
Well, still, either way, they would have had Luka at 2 or 3 or whatever it was.
I know. You take the number 3 pick, keep your number 5, and give them other stuff. That's what they should have done. But I think they were in such a frantic to make sure they got Luka that they just were like, oh, you can have the 5.
Right.
Plus,
I think they kind of felt like they had a chance to still get in the top 5, maybe. But because I think that it was one of those things they thought they could still get there, even with him, because they knew he could be good, but I don't think they expected him to be this good this fast.
No. And right now they're sitting at what?
23-27, I think.
Yeah. And so they're not. They'll have decent odds in the lottery, and who knows? They might get lucky and jump in the top 5 again.
That would be a miracle, but technically it's possible.
So last year we were almost guaranteed a top 2 or 3 pick, and we ended up with 5.
We got screwed, but that's another story.
So it could happen. If you end up with another top 5 pick, that would be amazing.
It was funny. I was messing with the Tankathon website last night, just for the kicks of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking. And I kept simulating, and then it hit us at number 1 pick. We from where we are right now on the tankathon like standings, we would have to jump 10 spots to get the number 1 pick.
Yeah.
So to get in the top 5, we would have to jump at least
7 or 8 spots.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. I mean, it can be done. It's been done before, but to think there's a legitimate chance? Yeah, not me.
Oh yeah,
I'm perfectly happy if we could just get to number 5. Like,
yeah,
like I don't care about being 1, 2, or 3. Really, I would love to be, but I'm not gonna expect it to be. Just get me to the 5th pick. That's all I care. I don't want to lose our pick, but just get me to the 5th pick.
I wouldn't be mad if we ended up with 10 and took somebody like a Gafford.
See, here's my thing though. If we don't, that's the thing though. Well, our pick is dependent on us being in the top 5. If we're not in the top 5, it goes away.
That's right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's the thing.
But yeah, I forgot all about that.
Mm-hmm. But not restricted.
Top 5
protected. It's a protected protected top 5 pick. Yeah.
But we kind of are jumping.
Since we're still on the Mavs.
Hold on. I want to kind of. It's kind of hard to really move anybody at this moment. We kind of want to see some change because right now this isn't working is all we want to get at.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the House
in Shambles
podcast. We'll be right back.